In the name of Jesus Christ, who came to redeem us from our sins that we might become children of God, dear fellow redeemed. Our sermon text this morning is taken from the prophet Micah, the last six verses of the last chapter. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock that is your inheritance, the flock which dwells by itself in a forest, in the middle of a fertile pasture land. Let them graze in Bashan and Gilead as in days of old. As I did in the days you came out of the land of Egypt, I will show you wonderful miracles. The nations will see and be ashamed of their lack of strength. They will place their hand over their mouth. Their ears will be deaf. They will lick up dust like a snake, like the things that creep on the earth. They will come from their hiding places shaking with fear. They will come trembling to the Lord our God, and they will be afraid in your presence. Who is a God like you, who forgives guilt, and who passes over the rebellion of the survivors from his inheritance? He does not hold on to his anger forever. He delights in showing mercy. He will have compassion on us again. He will overcome our guilty deeds. You will throw all their sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, as you swore to our fathers from days of old. This is the word of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Mercy, grace, and peace are yours through your Savior from sin, Jesus Christ the righteous, dear fellow redeemed. Well, we're certainly glad that's all over with. People like to look back at a certain period of time and draw certain conclusions about it. When we get to a new calendar year, we like to do this as well. When you look back at the previous 365 days, what do you see? What are the conclusions that you draw from the year that was 2020? Last Thursday on New Year's Eve, I watched several different programs on television celebrating the upcoming new year and looking back at the previous one. A more than reoccurring theme throughout all of these programs was, wow, what a terrible year. We're so happy that we're finally done with that whole mess. Certainly, this seems like a sentiment that most people can get on board with. But is that how Christians should view it? That sentiment and theme seems to be more common every year. Yes, there were bad things that happened last year, but it seems more and more like every year people want to condemn the previous one. Worst year ever loses its steam when you say it about every single year. Also, that thought is not very educated. On one hand, it shouldn't surprise us that people want to blame it all on 2020. It shouldn't surprise us, of course, because the world continues to spin. And as it does, there is more and more sin and evil that goes on this planet. But on the other hand, remarking on how terrible 2020 was, it's not really looking at a very full picture. It kind of discounts, obviously, the blessings that God gave us last year. Were there bad things that happened? Well, yes. But were there countless blessings and graces that were freely given to us by our God throughout the year? Of course. Could you focus on the negative? Well, sure. But once you do that, you really miss all the wonderful things that God gives us. In our text this morning, we have the closing words of the prophet Micah. Here, Micah sees both the good and the bad. He sees them in the biblical perspective of both law and gospel. And it always goes back to God. God showed his grace in the past. How will God not show it again in the future? Our God is different than we humans are. He's not swayed by popular opinion or sentiment. God, his steadfast love is indeed rare. And that love is how we are able to continue to walk on this earth here today, and how we will surely praise him in the future. And so we pray, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Maker and Redeemer. Amen. What do you know about the prophet Micah? Well, for most of us, his name comes up actually around this time of year, during the Advent season. We read Micah 5:2 often during Christmas time. Micah named Bethlehem as the town where the Messiah would be born. When the wise men came looking for this king of the Jews, they saw a star, they wondered what town he would be in. The scribes pointed them to Bethlehem because of what Micah wrote down. But, of course, there is much more to Micah than Micah 5:2. Micah was a prophet who had a distinct privilege slash burden of being a prophet to both countries, to his home country of Judah, and also to the neighbors up north, the country of Israel. When you page through his book, you will see, no doubt, themes that are common throughout all the minor prophets. Themes like the law, rebuking people, calling out injustices, warning of the impending doom that was surely coming. But also, throughout this book, you really do see an emphasis on hope, restoration, the gospel message clearly shining through. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock that is your inheritance, the flock which dwells by itself in a forest, in the middle of fertile pasture land. Let them graze in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days of old. When God raised up Israel out of Egypt during the Exodus, he did so through miracles. There were the 10 plagues that were miraculous. There was the parting of the Red Sea. And, of course, there was the daily miracle of manna and quail from heaven. It was quite a miraculous process, the Exodus. When the children of Israel marched through the wilderness and then proceeded to wander about it, they were led by Moses. But also, it wasn't really Moses who was doing the leading. It was God himself. God kept them alive through miraculous means, by miracles. He miraculously fed them and provided them water in a barren and dry place. The Lord physically shepherded his people. And the same, of course, can be said about us here today as well. We know that everything we have is from God also. We are where we are today because of God's great and tender mercies. It's not to say that we won't suffer at certain times in our life. We look back at the last year, we see that to be the case. But that's because this world is a desert. As Christians, our goal is not to try to settle down in the desert. Rather, our goal is to get through it. We want to help others as well get through it, but every Christian's first personal concern is getting through this desert life and into the promised land. The only way we are able to do that is by being shepherded by God. And how does God do that? The flock which dwells by itself in a forest in the middle of a fertile pasture land, let them graze in Bashan and Gilead as days of old. Right now, the flock is in the forest. If you were a sheep, the forest is not a good place to be. There are predators there. You have no way to defend yourself from them. We are wandering through this forest. And on the other side of the forest is, as Micah puts, fertile pasture land. The areas of Bashan and Gilead were known as ideal for raising livestock. They were fertile plains. That's where we want to get to. The only way we can make it there is by relying on our shepherd. This whole text is Micah pleading to God on behalf of the flock, his people. Except here, when the Lord interrupts Micah in verse 15, "As I did in the days you came from the land of Egypt, I will show you wonderful miracles." God reassures us that he will continue to shepherd us. He led the Israelites. Will he not lead us also? What God reminds us here is a great thing to remember as we head into a new year. What can we expect in the year 2021? Well, we can expect the same things that we have been given every day of our life. Look at how God miraculously delivered his people out of Egypt and continued to watch over them. The same thing happens with our God and with us. Look at how God has protected you from your foes. It might be hard to see at times, but certainly he has done that. We are constantly fed by him. Yes, of course, God gives us what we pray for in the Lord's Prayer, our daily bread, but he also feeds us, feeds our souls, that is, by constantly reminding us of his promises. He has been with you to this very day. Will he not be with you tomorrow? The prophet Micah responds to the Lord's holy interruption by foreseeing how the nations will see him. This will happen for all one day. The nations will see and be ashamed of their lack of strength. They will place their hand over their mouth. Their ears will be deaf. They will lick up dust like a snake, like the things that creep on the earth. They will come from their hiding places shaking with fear. They will come trembling to the Lord our God, and they will be afraid in your presence. The supposed strength of the nations is nothing compared to the strength of your God. There will be no accepted excuses before God. The only thing that the nations will be able to do before him is fall down. They will crawl on their bellies like snakes. They will literally eat his dust. There is nowhere anyone can hide from that great and awesome day of the Lord. They will come out of their holes with well-deserved fear. That is what happens when the glory of God is made plain and that great and terrible day of the Lord comes. This pronouncement and prediction of how the nations react to the Lord is, of course, very reminiscent of the garden. There was the original pronouncement of eating dust. The serpent, after the fall, would go on its belly. Who knows what snakes look like before that? There are many different theories. But we can see snakes now, and that's what they do. They slither on the ground on their stomachs. They also tend to find their way by shooting out their tongue, so no doubt they too daily eat dust. Adam and Eve, created from the dust, tried to hide from God post-fall. The shame of their sin made them try to do the impossible, to literally hide from God. This ultimately, of course, resulted in the banishment from paradise, and mankind has been trying to get back to that ever since. But these words of Micah here, strong as they are not just declarations against our neighbors. It's to the nations. We, after all, are part of those nations. These reactions are not just the goats on the left hand of Christ on the day of judgment. This also, these words apply to us here today as well. We too are ashamed of our so-called strength. We too fall deaf and dumb before the all-knowing and all-seeing Lord. We too fall down shaking in our boots with fear and trembling. These reactions that Micah says here, they're universal. It just depends on when you have them. These reactions are what the law of God provides. One day, every single person will react just like this. We have them when we see what God demands of us and how far our lives have fallen from that mark. Once we see that we have indeed sinned against God and man, we too are ashamed. The law shows us our infidelity towards our God and our neighbor. The law quickly gets rid of any notion that we can do something to save ourselves, to show our strength. It shows us how truly incapacitated we have become by our sin. Once you see how truly far you have fallen, that is when the mercy of God also becomes more fully realized. How sinful have you been? Not just in the year 2020. How sinful have you been in your lifetime? Very? Well, that's a start, but that's still quite the understatement. How hopeless are we? Very hopeless. And yet, here we are. We are not consumed, even though, by all rights, we should be. We are still here. Why? Doesn't God have every right to punish us here and now? Well, yes, he does. But he doesn't. Why? Well, because God is better. God is different. How should we respond? By doing the opposite. We need to remove that hand that was over the mouth. We need to let those mouths confess that indeed we are sinful and we have sinned against God and our neighbor. Don't be ashamed of your lack of strength spiritually. Admit it freely. Admit you need a savior. You need spiritual help. Let your ears then hear what the Lord says. Verse 18, who is a God like you? Who forgives guilt and who passes over the rebellion of the survivors from his inheritance. He does not hold on to his anger forever. He delights in showing mercy. I enjoy a good New Year's resolution from time to time. It's admirable that certain people want to change and they decide that this year is going to be their year. People cut down on all the treats that they might have indulged with on the holidays. The gym becomes a suspiciously busy place this time of year. It's good to see people decide that they want to better themselves. But at the same time, you almost know that it probably is not going to last. Maybe you can stick with the diet and exercise for a few weeks, maybe even a few months. But how full is that busy gym only a month later? I personally haven't made a New Year's resolution in a very long time, and I think it's because I consider myself to be a realist. At the same time, if someone can truly stick to their resolution throughout the whole calendar year, well, that is praiseworthy. What is your God's resolution in 2021? Well, it's the same that it was in 2020, and the year before that, and the year before that. It is to continue to show you, show us, who are worthless, pathetic sinners, his love and his mercy. He is able to do this because our God is different. He's not like us. He is not quick to anger, quick to dole out revenge and judgment. He is not like that. How does he describe himself to Moses? The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Yes, our God is different. Our God is better. He lets go of his anger. He does not hold on to it. He delights not in punishing us, even though, yes, we do certainly deserve it. Rather, he delights in showing the opposite. He delights in showing mercy. He constantly and consistently shows you his love. How is that possible? Well, it's all possible, of course, through the work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. 19 and 20, he will have compassion on us again. He will overcome our guilty deeds. You will throw all their sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, as you swore to our father from days of old. It is through our Lord Jesus that we have this unending, constantly flowing stream of mercy and grace. We deserve to be punished. Instead, it was Jesus Christ who bore the brunt of our punishment. The Holy Lamb of God suffered the holy punishment for my sins. That is how they are thrown into the depths of the sea, as Micah says here, which is a great image. God has shown mercy and truth to Jacob and to Abraham. They were promised that the Messiah would come from their lines, from their lineage. And so Jesus did. Jesus came so that we could have a future full of God's forgiveness and mercy. Note here what happens in this text on the personal level in Micah's words. He will have compassion on us again. He will overcome our guilty deeds. Okay, so here you have Micah speaking on behalf of the people and talking about what God would do for the people, for us, for our. But then see how he shifts here with the pronouns. You will throw all their sin into the depths of the sea. What is with the person change here? Why does he go from he and us to then you and there? Well, again, this is Micah going back to the nations. He's talking about the nations, their sins. Micah is saying that God will throw the sins of the nations into the sea. That is the sin of the whole entire world. God has not just forgiven those who believe on him. No, the Lamb of God died for the sins of the whole world. It's universal justification. This is a great comfort to us because, guess what? We're part of the world. We're part of the nations. God has died for me. I love this section of Scripture because of how it stresses that merciful nature of God in multiple different ways. Look at the ways that Micah says he forgives guilt. He passes over our rebellion. He lets go of his anger. He loves to show mercy. He has compassion on us. He overcomes our guilty deeds and throws them into the deep ocean. This is what makes God so different than anything else or anyone else we've ever seen. No one acts the way that God, your Lord, acts for you. We see that primarily through the ways he has loved us and through the person and work of his Son, Jesus. What was 2020 all about? Was it the year of COVID? Well, perhaps. Was it the worst year ever? No. This way of viewing time is very narrow. It's very dismissive. What really happened last year? Well, God continued to show us his mercy and his grace. He continued to forgive us our sins. We are still here by that same grace. That's something to be thankful for, and that's something to praise God for always. The rareness that is God's mercy is really what you find whenever you go back to any period of time. He was merciful to Israel in Egypt and shepherded them in the wilderness. Will he not continue to guide, shepherd, and lead us in 2021? Yes, we are sinful. Yes, we deserve to crawl on our bellies and fear the wrath of God. But instead, he gives us his steadfast love, his mercy, his compassion, and forgiveness is our past, our present, and our future. It's all possible through what Jesus did on this earth. All thanks and praise be to Jesus Christ, who took our sins upon himself and threw them into the depths of the ocean forever. Amen. Please rise.